I am excited to continue in this series today that we started last week as we answer this important question, am I really saved? That's the million-dollar question. People want to know, am I saved, am I not saved? I was baptized, I raised my hand, I said a prayer, but I don't know, I haven't been living for God the way I should. People always have these questions, was it really saved? You know, my friend led me in a prayer, it wasn't a pastor, did it really count? You know, people have all these questions, and I understand, you know, if you're going to do it, you want to do it right. You want it to stick, and you want to make sure you're doing it right. So I want to be very clear. During this sessions of series of messages, we are going to open up the Word of God, and we're simply going to let the Word of God teach us, and we're going to allow the balance of God's Word. We're going to use multiple scripture sources so that we hear a total of the message and get a balance. We're not taking one scripture out of context and building all of our doctrine on one scripture, but we're using our doctrine off a multitude of scriptures that point to us where our salvation comes from, what that looks like, so that you can have a clear working definition for your own life. So what does that do? It's going to set you free. It's going to set you free of condemnation, of guilt. It's going to make you secure in your relationship with God, and it's going to allow you to worship Him more freely. It's going to allow you to share Him with confidence, and today I'm excited to dive into it. So if you're ready for the Word, give me a big shout, amen. So last week we talked about, am I righteous? And we answered that question, what does righteousness look like? It's right standing with God. And it's not based on my performance, it's based on my position in the family. That when I accept a position in the family by accepting what Jesus did on the cross for my life, that the blood of Jesus is applied to my life, now the Father looks at me based off of my relationship with His own Son, and He treats me like His own Son because I have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? It's not based on my performance. Today, I want to talk to you about this thought. I'm all about that grace. Come on now. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm all about that grace. That grace, no trouble. Come on now. It's all about that grace. You need to know this. The teaching today that I'm going to share with you helped transform my life. I think there's no other teaching like today I'm going to give you that transformed my life. So this is an important for all believers, no matter whether you're saved, not saved yet, thinking about it, or you've been saved a long time. I believe that this message today will transform your life. If you will take great notes, apply it to your life, begin to meditate on it, I believe it's going to elevate your relationship with God to a whole nother level. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's go for it today. Let's find out, are we under the law or are we under grace? Are we under the law or are we under grace? Look at Romans 6, 14. It answers it very clearly. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. If you don't know this, in the New Testament, you are now living under grace. You're not living under the law, you're living under the grace. Thank God for that. Come on, turn to somebody and say, thank God we're living in the New Testament time that Jesus now unveiled through the cross a period of grace that you and I can walk under the grace of God because the blood of Jesus sets me free. The first five books of the Old Testament were filled with law, starting off with the Ten Commandments. And then they went on to have hundreds of commandments that God said, I want you to live this way. Why did God write so many laws in the first five books of the Bible? Because He was trying to show you and I His standard is perfection. God was showing us by having all these laws that His standard was perfection. Why did he do this? Because he knew that you and I would never reach perfection on our own. He knew that you and I couldn't keep all those hundreds of laws that had been given. He understood that we had a hard enough time with 10 commandments, more or less 400 other commandments to add on to it, do's and don'ts. He knew that we couldn't live our life that way, but he had to show his standard was perfection. One sin and you're imperfect. He was showing us that his perfection was the standard. But remember this, his standard is perfection, but his nature is love. His standard is perfection, but his nature is all about grace and love. And so you've got to understand it. Yes, my God is a righteous God. His way I should reverence that he is a perfect God and his standard is perfect. But he's also a God full of love and grace. And this is what transforms my life. It's his nature. So he created another way. He knew that you and I could not reach this perfection on our own, but he was 10 steps ahead of us. By the time we figured out we couldn't keep perfection, he was already unfolding a plan to help you and I reach perfection. It's called his son Jesus. See, remember that he had ordered in the Old Testament one time a year that you had to bring a spotless lamb and offer it as a blood sacrifice to the priest. You had to sacrifice it once a year. It had to be a lamb without any blemishes, spotless, and it was sacrificed. And once that happened, it made atonement for your sins of that year. So your yearly sins were covered, atoned, covered, not erased, but they were covered by offering of the lamb. Once a year, they had to do this. You were not allowed to go unless you brought the sacrifice. And even so, you couldn't even come into the outer court of God's presence unless you offered the sacrifice. And if you were a high priest and you could go into the inner court of God's presence, you had to go through all this ceremony, cleansing and washing, and had to tie bells along the skirt of the priest and tie a rope to his leg, because if he didn't walk in with one thing, if he didn't follow everything according to what God instructed for them to get clean before they walked into the presence of God, if they missed one little thing, they would drop dead in the presence of God. And when the bells stopped ringing, they wouldn't go in. You're going to go in again? I ain't going in there. You know, that guy got killed. I'm not dropping dead in the presence. So they would have to pull him out by the rope. So this is pretty hard, right? But God was showing us that his standard was what? Perfection. God was showing us his standard was perfection, and we could not do it on our own. The only way was through the blood of the Lamb that made atonement for my sins. Fast forward, now God sends his only son, Jesus, who was called the perfect Lamb of God. He who knew no sin. The only one who's ever walked this earth and did not commit a sin was Jesus. The Bible says he was tempted in every way we were, but yet he did not sin. He became the Lamb of God. When he died on the cross, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of all the sins of the world. And all who put their faith now in the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection can now, their sins, listen, your sins are not just made atonement for, but they are permanently deleted. Never be brought back up in your face. Never be reminded that I was this or I was that. No, it says that God takes my sin now, and he takes it as far as the east is from the west. I want you to know God doesn't just make atonement for our sins. He deleted our sins from his memory. Wow, this is an incredible, Pastor. Yes, it's very incredible. It's called the grace of God. Look what Romans 7 says now, verses 1 through 4. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak of to those who know the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. Then he gives an example about divorce. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. In those days, it was illegal to get a divorce. So they were bound by law. She had to be married for as long as they lived. But if the husband dies, she's then released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's set free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has been married to another man. Therefore, get this, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law. Turn to your neighbor and say, the law is my crazy ex. That's what he's telling us here, okay? This is going to be good. We're going to have fun today, all right? The law is my crazy ex. That you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. I used to be married to the law, but now, as a Christian, I'm married to another. It was him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear now fruit to God. Understanding this, I was married to the law, you were married to the law. Spiritually, we used to be married to the law. But when we put our faith in Jesus, we become married to Christ. And what happens is this, my ex is kind of crazy. The law is kind of crazy. My ex, some of you are going to relate to this, my ex was a perfectionist. My ex pointed out all of my mistakes. My ex was overbearing. This is what the law did to us. It pointed out every single mistake we did. The law was nagging at us all the time. It was driving us crazy. There was no way for us to keep up with this standard. Remember when you first got married? Come on now, some of you, that's been a long time, Pastor. Come on, wake your husband up, ladies, and say, do you remember? Remember how you used to fight over silly things? I guess that was just me and my wife. Okay. When my wife and I first got married, I learned something. Her definition of clean was not my definition of clean. You understand what I'm saying? Any husbands relate to this? Her definition of clean was not my definition of clean. And she left and was like, man, here's a list of 7 things. Could you please make sure this gets done and the kids help do this, whatever today? I'd be grateful. And you know what? I would sometimes get like 5 out of the 7 done. And I'd be feeling really good about myself. Man, took care of 5 of these things. She's going to be proud. She only comes home, there's only 2 left. But when she came home, she was so upset about the 2 things that were not done, she couldn't appreciate the 5 that I'd already done. I guess we're the only one who needs Dr. Phil. I guess I know you guys here are okay. See, the law didn't get it done. The law doesn't see the 5 you did right. The law will point out to the 1 mistake you made. The law keeps you remembering, oh, I messed up on this. I failed God here. I sinned here. The law keeps reminding you, you're not good enough. You didn't get clean enough. You are left the house a mess. See, my wife understood something. Over time, she got a little smarter in this area. She understood that if she would come in and brag about the 1-2 things I did right, that it would motivate me to want to do more things right. And when she came in and nagged about a couple of things I did wrong, that it would shut me down and I wouldn't want to do anything at all. Why? Because the law doesn't motivate me to change. It is the love and grace that motivates us to change. Are you following me today? The law was nagging at us. The law didn't motivate me to change. But now we're married to grace, and grace should propel you to want to change. Grace should propel you to want to live right. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new, come on, let's say it together, he is a new creation. That's us. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, Pastor, we just read that I'm dead to the law and I'm married to Jesus. Can I tell you the law didn't die? The law's still alive. The law's still there. The law didn't die. Who died then if I'm legally married to Jesus? Me. I died to myself. Come on now. If anyone belongs to Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old man has passed away, and behold, all things are new. Come on now. I died, freeing me from the law and allowing me now but legally to be married to grace. I'm now married to grace of God, and it sets me free. Look at this. The law cannot justify. The law didn't have power to justify. Look at Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. You can't make yourself right by following the law. You can't make yourself clean by following the law. It just doesn't work that way. But verse 28 says it like this: therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by, come on, let's say it together. A man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We are made clean, we are justified, which means to be made righteous by our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. This is what justifies me. It's not me keeping a list of rules. It's about me putting my faith and living my life to please the one who died for me. I believe in the one who died for me. I proclaim the one who died for me. I live now for the one who died for me. I wholeheartedly surrender to the will of the Father, because he first loved me and sent his Son to redeem me. That faith propels me to walk under the grace of God. I'm saved by faith, not by works. I'm saved by faith, not by keeping the law. I'm saved by my faith in the cross of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross and the power of his resurrection. This is what saves me. Stop trying to serve the law. Stop trying to serve the law. Now that you've experienced grace, quit trying to go back now and be a slave to the law. Grace elevates our worship. Grace will elevate our worship, because now I realize I'm not saved because I followed all of the law. I'm saved because of God's amazing grace. I'm made righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And even on my worst days, his blood covers my sins, and I can freely come in and worship the Lord. It sets me free. Look at this now in Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. This is the way I felt when I got this revelation. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Well, that's pretty strong language, man. Who really tricked you into believing this? That you should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Remember, the day of Pentecost has just happened. The Spirit of God was poured out onto all who were there in the upper room. It spilled out into the streets. The Spirit of God is being poured out. He goes, did you receive God's Spirit because you followed the law? No. No, you received it because you put your faith in Jesus, and all who are putting their faith in Jesus were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were receiving empowerment from the Holy Spirit. So he says, where'd you get this faith from? Where'd you get this power from? What happened here? Did it happen because you followed the law? No, it happened because of your faith in following the crucified Jesus. He goes, this is how it works. Not the works. What if someone you know came to you and said, you know what? if I'm being honest, I've been breaking about 5 of the top 10 commandments. Top 10 commandments, I can tell you that I constantly break about 5 of them all the time. But the other day in my devotions, I read the 10 commandments. And I decided I'm not gonna break those commandments anymore. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna live better. How many would be like, oh great, yeah. How many would believe that person? You'll be like, I'll believe it when I see it. Why? Because just reading something doesn't transform my life. But what if that same person come to you and said, listen, man, I've been breaking a lot of commandments, but recently I've got the revelation of how much God really, really loves me and forgives me. How big His grace is for me, even on my worst days. And I'm just being overwhelmed by His love and His grace in my life. I feel His power with me. I feel His Spirit with me. And I tell you right, I'm being motivated right now that I'm going to start living my life different. I'm going to be a better witness for God. I'm going to be more committed to His teachings. And I'm going to change my life. Would you believe that person? Yes, because there was something happening, not in their mind, but something was happening in their heart. See, the law by itself has no power to change me, but the revelation of God's love and grace, it has the power to propel change in my life. Come on now, you believe in that? One is fueled by love and grace. See, look at this, fear-based change produces no fruit. If I make you change because of fear, it's not going to produce change. It's not going to produce fruit in your life. But grace-based change, it will allow you to bear fruit. Oh, I understand how much God has forgiven me. I understand that on my worst days, His blood covers me. I understand how much grace He's given me. I want to do better. I want to live better. I want to be a better witness. I want to be more faithful. I want to serve God more. I want to get involved in the kingdom of God work. I want to give my first fruits. I want to do all these things because I have a revelation of God's love in my life and it's propelling me. It wasn't something you read that changed you. It was the revelation of God's love and grace in our life. See, I was raised in a fear-based mentality. One sin, I miss heaven. So I would live my life. If I had a good day at church, felt really good, slept really good that night. By Tuesday or Wednesday, I couldn't sleep because I was like, oh, man, I messed up again. Oh, man, I'm not pleasing God. And I was worried about missing heaven. I was worried God was going to come back, and I was going to miss it all because I had sin in my life. I attended one of those churches that belonged to the NFC. Anyone know, anybody attend the NFC church? I call that the no fun church. Everything was a sin. NFC, no fun church. Everything was a sin. And I'm like, where? Show me in the Bible where that's a sin. Which is a sin? Just believe us. I mean, anything that was fun was a sin. So even at a young age, I began to question and push back. Believe that? Yeah. I pushed back on those that were trying to tell me. Just show me in the Bible where this is wrong, and I'll follow along. But until then, I'll keep sinning, and you do what you want to do. I was rebellious. Yeah, okay, I was. But I always felt like I wasn't good enough. And then I began to read the Scripture for myself, understanding God's grace and love and forgiveness. And then I realized something. Somebody lied to me. Listen, if I understand they had good intentions, they were trying to keep me scared straight. You ever watch those programs on TV? They were trying to keep me scared straight. So I understand the intention. It wasn't in malice. But because they're teaching it that way, it did not allow me to live and ever feel like I was good enough to be used of God. I was not good enough to be called a Christian on a full-time basis. And I kept my hands in my pockets and my head down most of the time because I was feeling guilty like I didn't belong to God. But when I got a revelation of God's love and grace in my life, my hands went straight up into the air. The tears flowed down my cheek. My heart and my dedication changed because I understood something. God loves me even on my worst days. God covers all of my sins and deletes them from his database. Not to be brought back and thrown back up in his face, in my face, but God's love has set me free. This is God's grace in our lives. See, the law cannot empower you. The law has no room to bring power to your life. Let's read verse 4 again of Romans 7. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may now be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Why? Look what happens now. That we should go and bear the fruit of God. See, once I'm married to grace, once I'm married to God through Jesus, his son, now I've been empowered to go out and bear the fruit of God. This is what empowers me. It's the forgiveness that Jesus gave me. That revelation empowers me now to grow. Now I can have spiritual fruit growing in my life. Now the fruit of the Spirit can begin to produce in my life. Now I can grow because I'm not tied to the ball and chain called the law and guilt and shame, not being made perfect, but now I serve the one who was perfect. His blood covers my sins, and now I've been set free. Grace produces fruit in my life. Galatians 2:21, look what it says. I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? So if we are saved, made righteous by following the law, then what Christ did on the cross was done in vain. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if we're saved by the law, then God is the most horrible and cruelest father there is. That he would make his son leave heaven, come and live here on earth, be despised and rejected, even though he did all the good, to be go through one of the most painful and crucial deaths that ever it was ever invented and experienced, all for you and I to be free. If there was another way to be free, he would be a cruel God. No, there was a reason why he made his son and asked his son to do this, because this was the only way for you and I to reach perfection. The only way you and I could ever be seen as perfect was to apply the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was perfect. When his blood is applied to my life, now I am seen by God as perfect. I am seen of God as righteous, in right standing with God. It released me. It says that we are released now. We are released. Look at Romans 7:6. It says, but now we have been released. Come on, say that word. Released from the law. You've been released from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, which is the law. What is he saying? You have been released. This word release is the same word we use for discharged in the army. Anyone ever served? Who's all served in the armed forces? Raise your hand right here. Come on now. Let's give all these people a great hand. We appreciate your service. Having talked to many people who have been discharged, they will tell you just because you're discharged doesn't mean mentally you're discharged. That you still live your life like you're someone's going to be waiting to tell you or scream at you if you mess up. Someone's going to be there to judge how you make your bed in the morning. Someone's going to be there to judge how clean your shoes are. Someone's going to be there to judge how you're following your life. You have a hard time breaking free. It takes a long time before mentally, right? Can you say that's true? Mentally, it takes you a long time, even though you've been discharged, to actually get free from that. See, this is the same thing that happens. Even though we have been free from the law, it can take a while in our mind to get free from the law. I know, but we remember this. I've been released. I've been discharged from that law, having died. Now I can serve the newness of the Spirit of God. I can now walk in the Spirit of the Lord. I can now walk in the power of the Lord. I can now walk hearing God's voice. I can now listen to the Holy Spirit in my life. I can now pray in the Spirit. I can worship in the Spirit. I can speak in the Spirit. I can come and be in the presence of the Spirit of God anytime I want, because I've been discharged from the law. The kingdom of God is full of opposites, right? That's why we have a hard time with this. To be first, you got to be last. To have authority, you got to get under authority. To live is to die. I mean, all of the kingdom is opposites. But our mind doesn't accept this, and we have a hard time with it. Our mind struggles with this. But when grace is revealed, it propels me. I have a hard time listening that I release from grace. People are never motivated by change when we preach a bunch of do's and don'ts. They are motivated by what we show them, that God really, really loves us and how much he loves us. Last thing, I want you to get it. Only love can justify and empower us. Only love can justify and empower us. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Do you get this? The strength of sin is the law. The reason why sin has power in my life is because the law. The law makes me feel like I'm not living right. The law makes me feel like I don't belong to God. And so it gives power to sin in my life. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The law makes me feel condemned, but Jesus makes me feel free. And the law makes me feel guilty, but Jesus says I am more than an overcomer. Come on now. Someone give God a praise. Stand on your feet today. Today, I want you to understand that it's all about that grace. You got to understand, it's all about grace in my life. It's not about following the law. It's not about doing anything other than following what God wants to do. Just bow your heads where you're standing right there. Bow your heads and say, Pastor, today, I need to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. I want to be a Christian. I don't know how to be a Christian. Well, the Bible says when we put our faith in Jesus, that he was the Messiah, God's only son, that he died on the cross for the world's sins, and he was resurrected, now living in power on the third day. When I put my faith in who Jesus is, that I am now made righteous. If you've never done that before, I want to give you a chance to do that. We're not going to single you out. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, but as you get your eyes closed, can you just raise your hand today and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to do that. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? I see those hands. Come on, keep it high. Let me see. Thank you. If you raised your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. As Christians around you, we'll help you as well. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins, for dying on the cross for the sins of the world. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family, God. Come on now.